Hey everyone, this is another episode of the Pop Culture Comic Pod. This episode is not under the regular numbering system that we use for the PC Bombcast. Instead, it's our spinoff podcast called the Comic Pod, which is nothing but comic book related topics. Jay and I both bring one story to the table to talk about, and then after that, we do some quick hits on some stuff that we are either recommending to you or other stories that are out there in the comic book world. So if that's sort of things your bag, and most of the downloads tell me that it is for you guys, this one's right up your alley. If it's not, much like the last episode, which was almost all SEC football, the PC Bombcast, you can skip it, but download and like and share. We still appreciate all that. So all that out of the way, it's Bombcast Jay and I doing our version of the Pop Culture Comic Pod. Enjoy. That's literally the best thing about going to Chicago is that all those breweries are there.
Yeah.
That I get. I mean, they all ship into Chicago.
Yeah.
So we drink, and most of our hotels is like Revolution or Three Floyds are on tap.
Yeah.
And we always hit the same grocery stores, so they're always there. But yeah, cards on the table. Missy and I have been drinking all day.
Yeah.
Heavily all day. We did the...
Give me a glass real quick.
Yeah. So we did the... Katie up in St. Charles, and I'd been meaning to do it for a while, but so we dropped in right there at the Katie Trailhead in St. Charles,
yeah.
Right there at the park, north a handful of miles, and we went south to Bangard Island, and then we stopped, come back, and we stopped at the bike shop cafe, our bike stop cafe, where we had lunch, and we sat there for maybe an hour, hour and a half, maybe,
yeah,
because they were busy, it was a busy day, and we drank six beers like it was nothing, and then on the way home, we're like, I said, you want to stop at Gettemeyer's and have a beer? And she's like, yeah. And that turned into two tall Bud Lights.
Yeah.
And watching the Cardinal game, which was not worth watching.
No, it wasn't.
Which Kaylin was at. And then we come home, and then we've drank two beers. And so it's not quite our Kansas City trip.
Yeah.
But it's a lot like it.
You forgot a story.
Well, I tell you this. We are back, and this is a very special comic book-related episode of our It's our PC Bombcast, Pop Culture Comic Pod. We're going to talk all comics this whole episode, with the exception of this beginning, which is me and Bombcast Jay. Say hi.
Hi.
And there's no Bender, who said he would be here. He's not here. But that's, you know, he bendered us.
Yeah.
But you, I want to hear what you said I forgot, which is okay, because I probably did forget something. And then I want to talk about your podcast, Nerdcast, when we're done. And I got some things to show you when we're off the air. So go. Well, what did I forget?
So you remember getting on the elevator, and we're on floor 11?
No.
And Dwayne is, like, looking at the buttons, and he's like, we got a problem. There's not a four.
Oh, yeah, that's when we first got there. Yeah.
Yeah,
because I said four...
Floor 11.
Four, whatever our room was.
Yeah.
And he was looking for four floor. Yeah, Dwayne is a super smart guy, which you've never met Dwayne, Hal Pal, and Hikus. And now those are three of my five, three of the five best men.
Yeah.
My five best friends in the world. The other two whom you have not met is Carter, which will be probably the last one you meet. Mm-hmm. And you missed your chance at meeting John.
I met him briefly at the softball scrimmage.
Oh, at the softball scrimmage. Yeah, you met him briefly there.
Yeah.
Those are my five best friends. But the ones at the... And John has been to the comic convention before, too.
Yeah.
And he was pretty upset that he didn't get to come to that one, or we forgot to tell him. But, so what was your thoughts overall?
I had a lot of fun. It was a great time.
Yeah, we've been rowdier.
Yeah.
Like, in our 20s, we were really wild.
I could imagine.
But in our 40s, we still did a good job.
Yeah, we did.
we drank heavily that first night.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back and check how many total beers I checked into for the weekend, but I never did, so...
Well, it was rough, and I'm glad... So I listened to your podcast, and I enjoyed hearing you tell your co-host... And now, man, I'm sorry. What's his name again?
Matt.
I always want to call him Topper.
Yeah.
But it's Matt.
Yeah.
I love Matt. In fact, after a few more episodes in, I really enjoy Matt. In fact, you should bring him over one time or something. I only have one problem with Matt.
Yeah.
It's Steven Yeun, not UN.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God damn it. That's like the 10th time he said UN, and it made me want to scream.
Yeah.
But I love what I liked about Matt is some of the stuff that he's getting to, like when he kept saying he did his homework.
Yeah.
With stuff that we've covered in the past.
Yeah.
And he's not as big a comic book guy as we are, right?
No, he is.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
He's just later to the game in some things.
Yeah, he doesn't pick up new stuff. He usually gets trades from the library.
Yeah, so some of the stuff I'm hearing from him is, you know, postscript compared to what we've done. So it's cool to hear someone just jumping into some of those things, if that makes sense.
He's got kids right around my kids' ages, so he doesn't... Him and his wife don't go out and do nearly as much as we do.
I did like that he said, maybe I'll go with you next year.
Yeah.
He's more than welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, we got plenty of room.
Yeah.
I mean, we showed that drunkenly we'll sleep anywhere.
Oh, yeah. And he'll fit right in with everyone.
I do want to, before we, this that that's, so for those that don't know, we were speaking about the comic book, Planet Comic Con, that we just went to. Sorry, hold on. Louie, go up there. Go. He was whining, and now he's not wanting to come up. So, we were talking about Planet Comic Con. Sorry for that brief interruption about my dog not listening. That's going to spin into the comic book episode that we're doing, but we did see a guy get a concussion, and I liked you talking about it, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about my weekend. It was my brother's surprise 50th birthday.
Yeah.
I was the MC, quote unquote. I was supposed to be the MC. She really had me do one thing and announce it's time to eat.
Yeah.
And I had a speech, and it was a roast of my brother.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was pretty good. So his sons, you know, he's got three sons. Well, two are only ones there because the third one, that's a different story. But one of them and him have a bit of a rocky relationship. They're pretty good now, but they fought like tooth and nail. Now, my brother's about as tough as a guy you'll ever meet. His son, tough guy for his size, said, size isn't very big.
Yeah.
So they butted heads a lot in their life. What his son fails to realize is that all the problems he has in life is because he's a mirror image of his dad.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. What I wanted to tell you specifically is Cody, my nephew, the one in question, got a little drunk, a lot of drunk. He was a DJ.
Yeah.
And at one point, at about 3.5 hours into the night, after countless tequila shots and Pink Whitney and Bud Lights and things of that nature, he comes over from this DJ booth, and he just thought he would take a running jump across the top of one of the tables, plastic tables on a linoleum floor. The table slid out from under him, and he flat-backed, and I think he knocked himself out.
Oh.
So it stands to reason that maybe I'm the guy that causes people to knock themselves out.
I mean, there's a common denominator between both those, so.
I watched both. Yeah. I was roughly the same distance from both. Maybe there's a knockout aura about me.
Could be.
That just causes people to do dumb stuff. I'm like, it's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'm like the trees in The Happening. But that said, we are going to do a comic book episode here. And what I charged you and Bender with, and I was going to call this the... A triple feature, but now it's just a double feature.
Yeah.
It's a two-person story. I said, you bring us something to talk about that you've recently read or want to break down, and I'll bring something to talk about that I recently read and break down, and then we'll do some quick hits. I have my story. Do you have your story?
I do.
Then you should lead off.
Okay. So I've been going back reading full runs of things that like I started and never completed. So the most recent one I completed was Why the Last Man,
which is amazing.
For the show. Yes, it was incredible. I don't know why I didn't finish it, but...
And timely.
Yeah. So the next one I followed it up with was Chew. And I'm 55 of the 60 issues in.
I think I'm in the same boat as you. I think I've read probably the first 15 to 20 issues.
Yeah, I think I got up to about 30, 35.
And I enjoyed the shit out of them. The art's amazing. The story was great, but I never finished. I should go back and finish.
It's
those are ones
worth
I should
it.
Do the omnibus editions of. I really wanted to.
Yeah, I just picked up the trades. I got used copies of them
in
for 99 cents.
Yeah.
So the basic gist of the story is there's a plague, which is, I guess, is a common thing for everything I've read recently.
Well, and what's weird that you bring that up is it's not on purpose.
No.
None of these themes are on purpose.
No.
Like, there just happens to be... Maybe it's like if you buy a Jeep, you suddenly go out on the road and you see a lot of Jeeps.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that thing. We had a pandemic, so we notice all the pandemic stories that we've read up until then.
Because the last full one I read before Why the Last Man was Sweet Tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of worked out that way.
Well, and we've recently had Jim Ousley on the show.
Yeah.
Which was his latest Butcher Queen comic was about a pandemic, essentially.
Yeah. So it's a popular topic, especially before it happens.
All unintentional, too.
So, it's about an FDA agent that is investigating banned chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken is banned. People aren't supposed to eat it. And he works for the FDA's special unit on, or special crimes unit. So if there's something chicken involved, he will investigate it with his partner.
I forget what did they call him.
He's a CBOpath.
CBOpath, that's it. Yeah.
Which means he can, if he takes a bite of something, he can see what happened to it psychically. So he eats an apple, he can see it hanging from the tree and being picked. Or if he eats a steak, he can see what the cow went through in its life and when it was killed. So
I can't remember. Can he like feel it? Or did you just see it?
I think he gets a little bit of a psychic impression from it. So that's why he eats
beets. It's just so strong.
Right.
That,
he eats beets for everything because it gives him nothing. Because
they're the most boring food in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just funny.
So right off the bat, he's at a restaurant, and he takes a bite, and he sees a guy's life. So apparently this restaurant is feeding people dead people.
People, yeah.
So he finds out, like, they track down that the chef is a serial killer and puts the people he kills into the food he makes at this restaurant. So it's a crazy book. It doesn't take itself seriously, which is what I like. If you look in the background, you will see Image characters. You will see Robert Kirkman's picture showing up every once in a while. He'll poke fun at other creators. So 55 issues in, they've gotten most of the big story out of the way, and now it's just wrapping everything up.
So just so people know, in case you were wondering, John Layman, creator, writer, co-creator Rob Gilroy, who's also the artist, and his art's fucking great.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's really great, and I don't know what John Layman... he did Marvel Zombies versus the Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. He did Thundercats. He did a little Xena. It wasn't like he was... wasn't a sought-after writer, so to speak. But he really hit it out of the park with this one in Image.
Yeah.
And I think it's been optioned, right?
I don't know if it has.
So
it should be.
I would say this too. Let's get into some highlights and some things that what you overall like and up to this point what your rating was. What I like or what I thought about it, that when I read it, and we're not going to see it because he's going to go do. He's got the long hair and he's looking great in the Cowboy Bebop pictures. But this should be starring John Cho.
Yeah.
You know, Harold and Kumar fame, and now soon to be Cowboy Bebop fame. He would look perfect as this guy. He would look perfect.
So there was an option for it back in 2013.
It just never material.
Yeah, nothing's happened.
Like everything, I can tell you from knowing guys like Colin Bunn, the Six Gun was optioned. They made it.
Yeah,
and then no one ever saw it.
Here's another one from 2017 that there was another option for it, TV adaptation, but nothing's happened with it.
But, you know, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It could always come back.
Well, how long did it take Why the Last Man to get?
Oh, forever.
Finally made.
Is there a... I'm saying modern artists, not the contemporary such as Frank Miller and Alan Moore and those guys, and certainly the pantheon of great writers. Is there a more... I get what's the word I'm looking for. A more important writer than Brian K. Vaughan right now. And I know Hickman's good, but Hickman's a little after Vaughan.
Yeah.
Vaughan, I mean, say it. Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Saga.
Mm-hmm. Which is supposed to be coming back sometime soon.
Yeah. And then what else did he do?
He did the one-shot Pride of Baghdad.
Yeah.
The Tigers. That was incredible. Which was
and the art was amazing in that. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. That was a good one.
Did Runaways.
Runaways, yeah, the first one. And then later took over by Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, Brian K. Vaughan is, his body of work, it's a lot like the Alan Moores or Frank Miller's the book. It's not rapid fire, like certainly like a Robert Kirkman or a Mark Waid, where you're seeing something three or four books a year continuously. It's like he does one thing, locks on until it's done, waits a little bit, and then does another thing.
Yeah. I think I kind of lump him with, like, Brubaker and Fraction.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Certainly Matt Fraction, Kansas City, Missouri, or Chicago, Illinois. Chicago, yeah. Illinois. I think that's where he's from. Matt Fraction, yeah. And I like Fraction because I've talked some shit with him at shows before between the Cardinals and stuff. And,
yeah.
Because writer of Casanova, which was one of my favorite series, and then Brubaker, Criminal, mm-hmm. and a lot of other really good stuff. You're right. Those are, again, the modern equivalent of those guys, not putting out like a super high ball. You know, they're not even as prolific as, say, the Warren Ellis is when he was at the top of his game.
Right.
But just as good in different ways.
And everything they put out is just quality.
I mean, you know
you're going to get something good.
And I don't want to shit on Hickman because I do think Hickman's amazing, but sometimes he kind of wears thin on me.
Yeah.
Like, the longer he goes, the worse I think some of his stories are.
Yeah.
But he certainly is in that group, in that discussion.
Yeah.
It's a tough crowd. It's a tough tough club to get into.
Yeah,
but certainly Brian K. Vaughn is in there. Mark Miller is probably another modern one.
Yeah.
And which everything he shits turns into a intellectual property that's going to be made in TV or movie or something. So, yeah, I don't know. But overall, though, not just a rating, but what were the highlights of the series so far for you?
So I really like every power they've introduced is food-based. And
yeah.
So there's like a guy that can make working weapons out of chocolate. And there's another villain that was able to make like armor and stuff out of Jello.
So yeah, you're way farther than I got into it. Yeah.
So there, it's really crazy what he does.
And you didn't touch on his partner.
Right.
Who's a more powerful, or well, not more powerful per se, but an older, more experienced version of him.
Well, that's his partner for a little while. Yeah, he's got the other partner, Colby, which is just a normal guy. Who ends up getting messed up and turned into like a cyborg.
I didn't know that. And I know
that doesn't really spoil anything.
And I know that his partner ends up becoming a bigger prop.
Savoy.
But that was why he was originally brought into it.
Yeah.
And that was, it's completely worth checking out.
Yeah.
But story wise, that's the big deal too. That's where I don't know. After about maybe 15 issues.
Yeah.
Where it seems like the story could be pretty finite in, but there is a much bigger thing going on, right?
Yeah, there is. And you get the little arcs that kind of tie into the bigger picture. And then you get other, like, food agencies coming in. You have the USDA working with the FDA at times. You have NASA, who's a big player in all this, too.
What does NASA have? Do they have pocket food?
Yeah. No, Tony's sister, Tony...
Oh, that's right. Tony Chu, for those that don't. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I knew that.
And she's got a power where she eats something. If she tastes something from a person, she can see their future.
You know, I haven't read this book since my store was open.
Yeah.
That's how long. So I got to go back and reread
this. Oh, it's worth it.
And that's exciting. And it's just quirky enough that I'm into it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's an awesome, and I didn't get it, and I should have. There's a pretty awesome tabletop board game that came out of it that kickstarted a few years ago, and I really wanted to get it because it was the same artist. It was Gilroy and stuff, and I should have done it. But overall, though, for a story like this, and again, it's done, right?
Yeah, it's done.
And it ended probably in 2016, 17?
I think so.
Roughly?
Yeah.
It went 65 issues?
60.
60, okay, yeah. 60.
12 trades.
Isn't that weird that 60 become also the preacher.
It's a nice, easy breaking point for your three acts.
It is. Yeah, 20, 20, and 20, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah. Kirkman simply, with Walking Dead, he went a little past it.
Yeah, 193.
Yeah, which is a weird number.
Yeah.
You're so close to 200.
Well, he said he had this whole story planned out. And he started getting towards, I think, 180, and he's like, oh, we're at the end.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even say anything about it.
He solicited the books after on Diamond, which was even crazier.
And then the day it came out, he put a letter on his website saying, hey, this was the last issue.
This was it. It's not, we're not joking. It's over. So overall, what's your rating on it?
I'd probably give it 4.5 out of 5.
That's a strong rating.
That's
a strong rating. For a very fun book. And I remember loving it. It's one of those things, too, and why I fell off of it was closing the store.
Yeah.
Changing certainly how much I had to pay for comic books.
Right.
Not getting my 45% off, which is with the standard small store cost on a comic book. I'm gonna go check those out. Yeah, that's a good one. That anything else on it?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I'm curious to see how they tie it up because there's only, I mean, the five issues. They've ended the big story, so it's just like little story points they're tying off.
Do you think that if it wraps up well, it could go from a 4.5 to 5?
Possibly, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the ending, I mean, you brought up Why the Last Man a while ago before you jumped into this. The flash forward ending, the final issue, may be one of the better final issues of a comic of all time.
Oh,
I put it up there with, for me, and this is my opinion, with Planetary, That, Why, and Preacher. Great final issues of books. Just the final issue that you want. And certainly, honestly, to be honest, you know, Walking Dead final issue was a pretty fucking good final issue.
It was really good. I like that one.
So, turns out if you just have really great writers with a really good vision, they can wrap it up nicely.
That jump forward and give you a little bit of what happens.
Well, so speaking of jumping forward, the book I brought to the table was from 2016.
Yeah.
And it was a 6 issues of Thanos.
Okay.
In 2016. Have you read Thanos Wins?
No.
Thanos Wins, written by Donny Cates, art Jeffrey Shaw, who's criminally underrated because he fucking kills it on this. And then later, there is a Cosmic Ghost Rider story, which was introduced in Thanos Wins in Thanos Annual number 1 for 2018. So that kind of falls into it.
Yeah.
If you were to buy the trade, you would get that as well.
Yeah.
So I got you the first, like, the final 3 word bubbles from the first page of the comic. And this is what hooked me. It said, and if you were to ask these gods, these Avengers and Destroyers, how they believe this marvelous universe of ours will arrive to its bloody and inevitable end, with a trembling voice and a heavy and honest heart, they would tell you the exact same thing, ... Thanos Wins.
Ooh.
And as soon as I read that, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So I read it, and I love Thanos. I'm a huge Thanos homer. He's my bad guy Hulk. I love the Hulk the most.
Yeah.
But the gist of this book is Thanos travels to the homeworld of the Chitauri. He's fresh off a battle with Thane in the book, and that's not really important. But he goes to the homeworld of Chitauri, which is visually a big nod to the MCU, and it's kind of their way of bringing them into the MCU. They're certainly menacing, but Thanos subjugates them really quick and kind of wipes out them pretty fast. While he's sitting there on the throne, a rain of blood hits him, and it's their fleets in the air being destroyed, and it's Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Cosmic Ghost Rider is, this is where he debuted, who ropes him and uses a broken time stone from the Infinity Gauntlet and brings Thanos into the future. Which, by the way, for those that don't know, and there's a lot of spoilers in this, future Ghost Rider, who's Cosmic Ghost Rider, is Frank Castle.
Right.
And he is a complete lackey and kind of a whipping boy for future Thanos. I should start this right away, too, and I put this down at the end of it. What I love about this, because I am a massive Hulk fan, this is Thanos' Future Imperfect, which was written by which was written by Peter David, and art by George Perez, I believe. It was pre-Del Keown. It might have been. Yeah. I'll have to look that up. But Future Imperfect was one of my favorite Hulk stories of all time, where Hulk travels to see a conquering Hulk in the future, and they end up having a battle. Same fucking story is what this is.
Yeah.
So when he gets there, what follows is about 4 issues of Thanos on Thanos crime before they have to unite to fight the Fallen One, which the Fallen One is a darkened Silver Surfer, much like the current Silver Surfer that's been touched by Null.
Yeah.
He's a black Silver Surfer. And I'm wondering if they knew that was going to happen when they wrote this.
It's possible, because they seem to do that.
Yeah.
They'll set something up a couple years in advance.
Yeah, yeah. And so, which it would work, but he has the army of the Annihilation Wave from Annihilus.
Yeah.
Is with him. And he comes to almost the entire universe is killed. Mm-hmm. It's just Thanos and a few others. So eventually, the two Thanoses have to band together, fight the Fallen One, because he's very powerful, with the help of the Twilight Sword, which is the sword that once belonged to Surtur, how they pronounce it, Surtur?
Yeah.
And their dog, which is a simple-minded, much more basic animal-style Hulk, okay. that's locked in the basement that they just throw dead bodies down to eat.
Yeah.
They end up beating the surfer. And after that, which all Thanos stories eventually come back to this, Death finally arrives in her non-bone form, her female form,
yeah.
to let Thanos know that she's paid attention. Yeah. He just had to wipe out the whole galaxy.
Yeah.
But she still won't talk to him. And so he, future Thanos, says, What? What do I have to do? I've killed everyone. And she, with one look, he knows, you've killed everyone but young Thanos.
Yeah.
So they have to start another Thanos battle. Now, is it a battle of the Thanoses? Or is it Thanos I? I don't know.
Yeah, that's but, the question.
But it's what happens after that is... The way they wrapped it up, and I'm not going to go super spoiler on it. I'm going to end right there, but I'll tell you this. Two things happen this series.
Mm-hmm.
One, Death speaks, and this is a little spoiler, and it's amazing. And the other thing, and I'm going to show you here in 1 second, my single favorite page transition in the history of comics, I do believe.
Okay.
From one page to the next, turn the page over, and it's amazing. And I'm going to show, and it's the origin of... Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Okay.
If you've never seen it,
I haven't seen it.
Fucking mind blowing how great it is. So that is, in fact, I'm going to bring it up and show it to you right now. But I can tell you this: my rating for this story was a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
One, I'm a sucker for a Thanos story. Two, so here's the story. This is from Frank Castle's point of view.
Yeah.
He's telling what happened, how Thanos ran through everybody, and he says here, I would give anything to punish that purple son of a bitch, to which the universe replied, anything?
Ah.
And that's him standing in front of Mephisto immediately, and that's fucking awesome.
The scene every MCU fan has been calling for the last year.
And I mean, but that, like, I was reading that, and I had no clue what this story is about. I knew kind of what it was about.
Yeah.
I forgot that it was Frank Castle, and that could have been the big spoiler, but the flashback to this, when you see that,
yeah.
Whew, that's awesome. Yeah. I was blown away by that art and that scene. And it just gets better from there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go so far and say this is my favorite single Thanos story of all time.
So have you read the other more recent Thanos stuff that came? I know Starlin did quite a few like standalone books.
Yeah. Starlin did some amazing standalone books.
Yeah.
The Thanos Imperative and things like that.
Yeah.
I haven't read all that yet. Okay. But of course, the most famous being the Infinity stuff.
Right.
And then Thanos had some other hit or miss things, even all the way up into what was the last Civil War II or whatever, where it was Tony versus Captain Marvel. He was a part of that at the beginning of it. Yeah. And they're all. I mean, he's got so much great. Thanos is. Yeah. There's a reason he was the first big bad to wrap up 10 years of movies.
Yeah.
But this did not disappoint because, again. I don't want to spoil it for you because of how great the last book is in it, but you got to go read it.
Okay.
It's all on the Marvel app.
Yeah.
Very easy to find. Just, you know, it's issues. Like I said, it was from 2016. It's Thanos number 13 through 18.
Okay.
And then it is worth reading the annual number one because you get that extra Frank Castle story, which is worth it. But it is, again, Mephisto's only in it for one page.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest one-page transition I think I've ever seen in comics. And I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It's well worth, like I said, 5 out of 5 for me.
So I don't know if you knew this, but Thanos is a part of the new Eternals book that's out. The Kieran Gillian one that's on the app. Oh,
Kieran Gillian?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think there's, on the app, there's 3 or 4 issues out. I read the first 2. It didn't really suck me in, but I was willing to give it a shot. I'll probably go back and...
It would stand to reason why he would be... on their radar.
Yeah.
Again, I gotta tell you, my knee jerk for anybody tells me about an Eternal story is I just don't like the Eternals.
Yeah.
That said, the movie looks great.
It looks incredible.
I'm excited about the movie. And that's, you know, we should have a Bender book that we talk about, but obviously we already said Bender's not here. But I will transition to this. Have you watched Shang-Chi yet? Which is not Shang-Chi.
Right.
They even make a point to do that. Have you watched it yet?
That's why I pushed the time back for this.
Oh, do you went and saw it?
Yeah, we went and saw
it. Okay, so everyone that I know says it's great.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It blew Black Widow out of the water.
And it's getting amazing reviews. It's so good and so so, I guess, important that there's been dialect people breaking down how wrong the accents are, but are applauding them for trying.
Yeah.
Like, the Cantonese accents are wrong.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while. But they're like, it's okay, he grew up in this part of China, and they grew up... Like, but the fact that you dive so deep into it, it is like, you know... It means you've done something right.
Well, and that's the same thing they did with Black Panther, trying to get all the dialect correct and all the clothing and making everything look accurate.
It feels like this might... I haven't seen it, but it feels like they may have been a better job capturing what they were trying to capture than even what Black Panther did, which was great.
That's tough.
Yeah, Black Panther was great. Yeah. It's hard to talk about Black Panther, especially with Chadwick Boseman now.
Right.
But this movie is, it's by all intents and purposes, one, it may have... hurt a career of one person in terms of Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of her own doing. And she's a stand-up comic by nature. She'll get over it. But two, Tony Leung, is that his name? Or Tony, what's the name, main star's name?
Simu. Simu Luau?
Luau, yeah, okay.
Something like that.
And then his dad is the guy I was thinking of. Yeah. It may have launched a star.
Oh, well, and everything on social media with him is just great because he's just... so in awe of what he's a part of.
He did a backflip at the Giants game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He threw the first pitch and did a backflip, and people went crazy for him.
Yeah. I mean, even the secondary characters in it were really well done. Like, Razor Fist. I really liked him. He didn't have a lot to do, but he was a very cool character.
And Dwayne grew a big pop culture geeky boner over Wong.
Yeah.
So I've got to see it. I was trying to take the girls to see it today, and... we were going to go, we had all these plans today. We were going to, we usually, historically, we've always went to the last day of our pool, which is today, our neighborhood pool. Hayden didn't feel like going. I almost called you guys, but I knew you were out of town to say, you know, hey, do you guys want to come swimming? But we couldn't find anybody, and we didn't really look hard.
Yeah.
But she's like, and Hayden's had a little bit of a scratchy throat. We're good, but anytime you get a scratchy throat, you just stay home. So Missy and I went on a bike ride instead and got drunk. So, but I really want to go see it.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? And it's my fault, a little bit of naivete on me. I thought that this we're going to ride this one good thing that came out of COVID, this simultaneous streaming wave where you could buy it. And that's not the case. And by the way, this movie's benefited from a $90 million opening weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And they needed that after the numbers Black Widow had.
Yeah,
because it was on streaming at the same time, so that definitely hurt it. But I think they were hoping for more still.
Yeah, so it's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
All right, I'll give my official review. I'll probably go see it here this week or before next weekend, before our next episode. I'm gonna have seen it. What else did you bring in our which is the appropriately titled letter column of our comic pod?
Let me see. I don't have a whole lot, I don't think.
I got a couple things. I got one recommendation and one story to share.
All right, go for it, and I'll see what I got.
I'll jump on my story. We talked about it a while ago. Talked about how big of an... I mean, Thanos is a great character. Thanos, Doctor Doom, and Incredible Hulk are my three favorite characters.
Yeah.
Incredible Hulk is by far my favorite character, and this run of Immortal Hulk has been incredible, but have you seen the problems with the Immortal Hulk coming to an end? Between Al Ewing and...
his artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His artist, Joe Bennett.
Yeah.
So, have you seen, like, the newest thing?
The piece of art he did...
for the Brazil?
Yeah.
So, and you saw the original thing, right? This is
I
the second time he's gotten hot water over drawing.
No, I don't.
Let's start. All right. For those that don't know, Immortal Hulk has been a really good book. It's going to end with issue 50. Al Ewing has been the writer... and his artist, Joe Bennett, he has a massive beef with right now. Essentially, Joe Bennett is what I guess for lack... And again, I'm just drawing comparisons. People, I don't want you to freak out. But he is the equivalent of a far-right propaganda artist, if he were in the United States, for Brazil. So he's a very right-wing a person in Brazil.
So like an Ethan Van Shriver for Brazil?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty accurate. I think Van Shriver's a little more dickish because he hates women.
Yeah.
Early on in this run, he drew an accidental anti-Semitic picture where he put Jewry, not jewelry, but Jewry, and he didn't even have the letters. It was, and the name he put, it was, There's no way it was an accident.
Yeah, I think I remember that now.
Yeah, there was no way it was an accident. And he apologized and said he didn't mean to put it in there, and it's just the way the page came out, and it was a typo. It's not a typo, because you fucking drew it.
Yeah.
And he apologized, and they moved past it. Well, then a picture apparently he drew back in 2016 has recently popped up, and Al Ewing saw it. So I'm going to give you a rundown. These names don't mean anything to us, but just know that this is equivalent versus Trump versus Biden. We'll call it that. So, and he's from the Trump perspective. It features Jair Bolsonaro, which is the president of Brazil, which I may pronounce his name wrong, and I apologize, riding a horse with a sword in his hand as he threatens caricatures of his ex-political opponents, including ex-president Dilma Rousseff, ex-president Luiz Inácio, Lula da Silva, ex-governor, and Senator Neves, who appears to be snorting cocaine in the picture, and then ex-presidential hopeful Michael Temer. Two other figures also represented by their shirts, which is a chest plate for a Brazilian Republican symbol and red flags that resembles the opposition of a left wing, are all being beheaded by this guy. Mm-hmm. This is his drawing that he put out, and then he took it down, but it's been resurfaced because people have shared it. And if that's your political view, if your political view is one thing, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But to draw for a professional artist, I can't even think off the top of my head.
A deviant art.
Not a deviant art, or not even quote-unquote news site, a right-wing news site, or even a left-wing news site. You know, with the people that claim to be news, but they're not really.
Yeah.
Like Socialist America or what, or American whatever.
Fox News.
Yeah, or Fox News. Not even a editorial artist for them.
Right.
This is, you are a professional artist who makes a living drawing things, sometimes for kids.
Yeah.
And you draw stupid shit like an anti-Semitic picture and then this picture. So Al Ewing came out and he went on a recent Twitter rant where he's like, I'm not going to work with him ever again. Not only is Immortal Hulk coming to an end, but I'm never going to work with him again. Instead, I'm going to take some money I get from the last few issues. I'm going to donate this in honor of some Brazilian stuff. And he goes, I know this doesn't make up for going 50 issues with this man. And he goes, and if there's some people that don't want to buy my work in the future because of the stance I'm taking, then well, that's the price I'm willing to pay because I won't talk to him and I'm never going to do another book with him.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing for him to say at the end of it because who's going to take the other guy's side?
Right.
You know?
But you'd think that with our government, the way things have worked out, too. But
that's true. Somebody's going to call him overly sensitive. And, yeah, but,
snowflake.
But it's a weird... I don't feel weird about it because I'm a comic book fan, and the book's been fucking good. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Joe Bennett's art's been really great in it.
Yeah.
But I hope he doesn't work on things I like in the future.
Yeah.
If he's going to be that weird of a... And again, I don't... I can't claim to know about Brazilian politics, but when I say these words, just know it's from my very limited scope of intellect about it. But for an incredible white right-wing nut, I don't need him drawing my shit. You know what I mean?
So it goes back to an argument or a conversation Matt and I have had. Can you go back and watch Kevin Spacey movies knowing what he is now?
Yeah, for the same reason I can still listen to Billie Jean.
Right.
It's a great fucking movie, and Kevin Spacey made some really good shit.
Yeah.
Just a bad guy. And I look at it this way, because on that logic, we can't watch a lot of Miramax films.
That's true.
Harvey Weinstein, and there's a lot of great films in there.
Yeah.
Recently, I can't remember who it was. Who's the poster child for Me Too? Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
She recently went hard in the paint at Oprah, because Oprah is a lifelong best friend of Harvey Weinstein. And she's like, you've not only, she goes, it doesn't matter that you haven't come in against him, you just haven't said a thing, which your silence speaks volumes. And because Oprah's been a long time partner with him, he helped funded the O Network. And, she's also done a lot. It's like Lance Armstrong, although not quite as bad. Lance Armstrong cheated, and certainly was a bad guy and buried a lot of careers, but also raised $500 million for cancer research. So, Dave Chappelle had that joke talking about Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
About how he raped so many women
But Bill Cosby also did all this other stuff. And he goes, you know, just remember that. I butcher the jokes. I'm not going to. And he's way more eloquent with words than I am.
Yeah.
But it's a real funny close to a stand-up about how that, you know, I can still watch a Kevin Spacey movie. I'll still read Immortal Hulk and enjoy it.
Hey, without Lance Armstrong, Globo Gym doesn't go down.
That's right. That's right. He saved Globo Gym. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, it's a lot like when I was laying on my deathbed and all that.
Yeah,
I love that. That's a great scene. We were just talking about me and Missy were talking about that just a couple days ago. Good movie.
Yeah, we watched it recently with the kids.
Did they like it?
Oh, they loved it.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge. Should I drink my own urine? No, but it's sterile. I like the way it tastes. Yeah, so I guess, you know, the way I look at it is you can't change the past.
Yeah.
And certainly in this article, so to speak, 2016 is a past, and there's a lot, and we've been on this show very, very much against going back in time and finding people's mistakes.
Right.
The problem I have with Joe Bennett is he also did it recently.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you learn.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut or whatever you are, but you just don't reward him going forward. Right. I would never watch another Kevin Spacey movie if he came out with one.
You care doing him.
Yeah, that's right. No doubt. And her little right-wing movie is filing through, too.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think she just can't fucking act.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do a movie with her? You know, I mean, even if your whole agenda is to shit on the left, and we're talking about Gina Carano leaving The Mandalorian, and then she signed on between whatever that TV network that was being funded by, or Trump was going to be a part of, and... she was going to do a movie, her life story, and then they pulled the plug on it. And because even if your goal is to be right wing propaganda, you still need to make some money.
Yeah.
And she's not going to make you any money. So
yeah,
I mean, and she wasn't bad in Mandalorian, but she certainly wasn't great.
No, she wasn't.
That character wasn't great.
No,
and it was because she can't act.
Yeah,
that's
why they didn't give her lines in Deadpool. Really?
Yeah, no doubt. Almost is none.
Yeah.
You know, the only other thing, we'll spin off that. The only thing I brought is one recommendation, and I'm three trades into this. Artist Lorenzo De Felici and Robert Kirkman, Oblivion Song. I'd never read it till now. Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good. I think right now, if I were to grade the first trade, it's about a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Second trade gets like to a 4, so I'm going to give it like a 3.75 overall.
Okay.
The third trade I'm not quite done with, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's essentially the Philadelphia Experiment, only with monsters and more nefarious government intervention.
Okay.
Him and another team of scientists, slight spoiler, create this thing that creates this, they change the harmonic vibrations,
mm-hmm.
and it brings a alternate reality onto ours and sends part of ours to theirs.
Okay.
And the alternate reality has got monsters and all this shit. Well, then the guy spends his life trying to go back and forth and pulling people out of it.
Yeah.
And then he finds out that some people don't want to come out of it. Like some people who used to be drug addicts in our world are now clean and have adjusted.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more stuff that happens after that.
Sounds like a weird mix of Manhattan Project with Black Science.
That's probably more accurate. Not Philadelphia Experiment, but Manhattan Project. Yeah. The sci-fi version of it. Yeah, it's Black Mirror's version of the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. Well, because Hickman did a Manhattan Project's book.
Comic. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That was one of his first Hickman-y books where he used symbols and everything all over the place. It's pretty great art. Very, very good storytelling art. And it's Kirkman. And Kirkman, if there's one thing Kirkman does, is develop a really good world around it. And it's worth reading. And for between the first and second trade, there's a couple-year jump.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool what happens. And then, until the third, it's right at the third trade where they actually introduce what is the bad guys.
Yeah.
So you get two... You get 12 issues before you really see the bad guys.
Yeah.
There's a rumor of them, but it's good. It's worth checking out. Again, it's a Oblivion Song, and the Oblivion is what they call the world that they phase into. But it's pretty cool. Check it out. It's on Hoopla.
Okay. I'll probably start looking for the trades this week. I'm moving on to The Wicked and the Vine by Kieran Gillian.
I read the first one.
Yeah, I have two, but I picked up 2 through 4, so I'm going to go and just knock the whole thing out.
I got to tell you, I read it long enough ago, I don't even remember what it's about.
it's about gods that come back every so often.
That's right.
And a lot of his stuff has music like tied to it. Like I read, he did three volumes, Phonograph.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I never read that, but I know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I initially read it and was a little disappointed in it because it was so hyped up. But I think I'm going to go back and try it again and listen to the music that's supposed to go with like each issue and see if that does something.
Side note, have you ever done that with the music with the book?
No, I haven't.
For instance, DC's heavy metal, metal, they did a soundtrack with it.
I picked up the vinyl
of
it. I haven't listened to it yet, though.
But it's a cool vinyl.
Yeah.
And then Warren Ellis did that stuff.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
I haven't either.
I don't know what it would do for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if there's some secret meaning in the music that might bring something out in the book.
I recently, until recently, I never liked reading with any background noise, but yeah. I have now started reading with music in the background. And I don't, the fewer words, the better, and I almost kind of turn it down, but it's helped me read lately.
Yeah.
I started that with actually Billy Summers, and I'm like, oh, so this is what everybody's talking about. It almost helps me read to a pace.
Yeah.
And get through parts that I otherwise would be like, oh, I'm going to wrap up right here. I just keep going.
Yeah. See, my family watches TV almost every night, and I'm not into a lot of the shows they're watching. Like, I watch my own stuff on the side.
Yeah.
So I'll have a book. I can pick up what they're watching and still pick up what I'm reading.
So I wish I could do that with you, but if it's on TV, I tend to pay attention to it no matter what. So with a book, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I can do it with comic books. So
yeah.
If Missy is watching something, I'll read comic books while she's doing it. And that I can get by with that. But I can't do like a true literary book. I can't get through. So I've been reading that. Like I almost read it about 30 minutes every day when I've been picking Hayden up from school
because yeah.
we turned in the form late to get her on a bus. So we've had to pick her up. But
yeah.
I've been doing that. And but yeah, which by the way, Billy Summers so far is great. It checks all the boxes for me.
Oh, good.
It's a hitman. It's Stephen King. It's the first Stephen King book I think I've bought since The Dark Tower ended.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't even think I bought the last two books. I may have borrowed the last two books from Hal Power Duane.
Did you ever go and read the one that he put out years later that's like in the middle of the story?
No.
Wind Through the Keyhole?
Nope, I have not. Did you?
I haven't sitting at home. I haven't read it.
Yeah. And it's nothing against Stephen King. I think he's probably and arguably one of the greatest writers of all time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily... I mean, if with anything, if you just judge him by the quantity of content he's put
right.
out. And the quantity of, I mean, even if it's a turd, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
But when it hits, he hits like The Stand or Carrie.
Right.
Or It, you know.
Yep.
Even though there's a very rapey scene in the middle of It.
Yeah.
So, So with Billy Summers, the good thing about Billy Summers is with me, who likes true crime and likes mafia and likes hitman stuff.
Yeah.
He's a hitman, and what's cool about him, he's a hitman that everybody thinks is dumb.
Mm.
But he's super smart. He just plays a dumb guy. One of the ways he perpetrates being dumb is he reads Archie comics when people are around.
Yeah.
And people think, well, he reads comics, he's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I thought was timely for our podcast.
Right.
So, but it's worth reading.
Verbal
but
kit.
You still need to read, that's right,
yeah.
From Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still
back
need
to Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you still need to read Neverwhere. It's one of my favorite books.
I've started. I'm about 50 pages in.
You like it so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man, he's just so good. It's Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Again, all those all-time greats and contemporary greats. I forgot, Neil Gaiman, arguably the most influential comic book writer of all time.
Yeah.
Because he's crossed into the literary world. He was the first to win all major awards.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first to get all these TV products and stuff put
yep.
out. Did you ever finish Good Omens on Amazon Prime?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I only got like two episodes
in. It's about me too. And I love the book. Him and Terry Pratchett, I thought, hit a home run on the book.
I tried to put it on while I was working. I felt like it was something I needed. It needed my attention.
Well, you can't. The problem with putting it on while you're working is the accents.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention because sometimes it's not necessarily Cockney.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
It's thick.
It is thick from time to time.
Yeah.
What else you got? Anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, I don't know that I brought anything else either. We're like at 47 minutes. This is unheard of for us. Let me see. I know there's got to be something. I just started Reservation Dogs. Me
yeah.
and Missy just watched the first two episodes today. I really like it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not over-the-top comedy.
Yeah.
The only slapsticky or even like obvious punch-in-the-mouth jokes are the his spirit animal, so to speak, the Native American that he sees, especially like when he's in the doctor's office and he sees him with his feet up in the stirrups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just good humor, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's I think it's solid. Yeah. Hulu is what it's on. That's what I've been watching it on.
So I think a new episode came out today.
Oh, see, I didn't know they were releasing them. I just started.
Yeah, they're coming out every week on Monday.
Oh, that's a good transition, though.
Yeah.
We can get to, we're now three episodes down of What If, or four?
Four.
And we may, and I think I think there's some weight to this, we may have seen the villain of the new Spider-Man film.
That's what I've heard.
Because, I watched a trailer, and I watched it with my girls, and even Kaylin come down, and she goes, why is Doctor Strange acting so weird?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it is off. Well, then you see this episode, and you're like, wait a minute. And certainly when they show the spider realm, it makes sense. And it would be awesome if they pulled that Doc Strange as the bad guy for this one.
Right.
Because he's not a good guy.
Right.
You watch the trailer, he does not seem like a good guy.
And from the first episode, that squid creature that pulls Sharon Carter in the portal.
Which you see again.
Supposed to be rumored to be in the Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
So maybe we see Agent Carter in Doctor Strange.
Which Haley Atwell would be awesome.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a better casted cartoon to character, you know, than Haley Atwell? I mean, that will be awesome. So the Doctor Strange episode, great.
Yes.
I thought great. I thought it was a weird change of pace considering the previous episode.
Yeah.
Which was the Star-Lord.
No, the Avengers came between them.
Oh, the Avengers, that's right. Which was also a pretty dark episode.
Yeah, it was.
Who was the bad guy in that? Spoiler warning. Who was the ended up
Hank
being
Pym?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just weird. And then Loki put it to him.
Yeah. I said they really played into the darkness of the Hank Pym character that we haven't seen in the MCU.
Yeah, almost finally doing it justice. Because Hank Pym, for those that don't know, in the comic books, he's been a hero, but he also, Hank Pym's got some noticeable failures. One being, he creates Ultron.
Yeah.
Two being that he gets all liquored up and starts beating the shit out of Wasp, which is Janet Van Dyne, which in the movie is more his daughter, the Wasp, instead of his, you know, his wife. So they can't really do that. So in this, they kind of gave us that dark Hank Pym that become Yellow Jacket, which again, in the comic books, Yellow Jacket represented Hank Pym's bad side. That when he was Yellow Jacket's when he did bad things.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. That was super cool. I read an article recently that talked about, and it makes sense, how the Tony Stark snap probably brought Ultron back.
That's very possible.
And they talked about the armor that the bleeding edge armor that he was wearing.
Yeah,
is almost identical to the armor that Ultron took over in the comic in the look.
Yeah.
So the snap and Kang's biggest rival is not the Avengers. It's Ultron.
Yeah.
Ultron and Kang hate each other.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome
if the Avengers were just caught in the middle of that war.
Well, see, they left it open, too, with one of those. They showed at least one bot getting away, but they showed it getting destroyed. But is it possible that other robots got away during the Battle of Sokovia?
Yeah, it's you can't say that they didn't.
Right.
And even if they did, you can also say that the snap fucked up some stuff. Because certainly no one would fault Tony Stark because you're in the middle of it. You just snap and you say, bring things back to the way they were. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, which is a tremendous, you're swallowing a lot of disbelief, which we have to in all these shows.
Yeah.
The fact that he could just ride everything with a snap in the middle of a giant battle before he dies.
But he's not the one that brought everyone back. The Hulk brought everyone back.
Oh, the Hulk did that. Yeah. And his snap killed everyone. That's right, Hulk.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about the post-credit scene of Shang-Chi, but the one thing I will say, spoilers a little bit, people, is I hope the fact that we don't see Smart Hulk anymore means that we're going to see a real Hulk again, which we know there's some stuff in the works. God, I hope.
That's the mid-credit.
Oh, that's mid. Okay.
Yeah, there's one after it,
too. Yeah, that's right. I heard that, too. I hope we see Hulk versus Wolverine.
Oh, that'd be great.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
I hope they do it like Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine, which was very cool.
Yeah.
Steve McNiven art, I believe, too, which was super awesome on it. Yeah, so I mean, so we've seen the first one, which we were all right. I mean, because we listened to the critics.
Yeah.
First one of the What Ifs certainly was not bad. We talked about it on here.
Yeah.
Very good. But the weakest of them, the second one with the anytime you're going to see Chadwick Boseman voice him, it's sad and awesome. And then we saw the Avengers one, which was pretty dark,
yeah,
but still cool. And I loved the ending,
yeah,
when Miss Marvel shows up,
yeah.
And then the fourth one, which was the Doctor Strange versus Doctor Strange, which was awesome. So how many do we have left?
I think there's 9 total.
Hmm.
So we're almost halfway.
Yeah. And then what's after this? We got a little break, and then it goes right into Hawkeye?
I think so. Hawkeye, then Miss Marvel.
Oh, that's right. And then we get Marvels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told Matt hadn't seen the fourth one, the Doctor Strange one. I said it pulls at your heartstrings like the Black Panther one, but for a totally different reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because watching him go through the cycle of trying to save Christine
over
and over, it was just like, it was heartbreaking.
I enjoy, so I will say this, I still hold that if they do a second season of this, I want them to play with the art stylings and do different styles of art, kind of like what I said, Love, Death, and Robots does but I thought that the peak of what the art looks like was with the Doctor Strange one.
Yeah.
It looked really cool.
Yeah.
And as bad Doctor Strange, as dark Strange, was absorbing things when he would like flare up and you'd see it in the shadows, it was a really cool image. So yeah, I'm down with that. I this has been quietly one of my favorite of the Disney Plus things.
Yeah.
And you know, who knew?
Yeah, and it's something we went in like, oh, there's no stakes to this. It's just going to be these little one-off stories.
I think they're fucking with us.
I think so, because I think it's all going to be one overarching story that culminates in episode 9.
And you called that with the title of 9 and how we've seen, Chadwick Boseman shows up so much. It makes sense.
And then it's going to be pulled into the multiverse.
What do you think? How hard do you think that that recording studio was with Chadwick, the guys listening to Chadwick Boseman do it? Because at that point, apparently, they knew he was dying.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Some people at Marvel didn't know until it happened.
Yeah, but somebody in the room, Kevin Feige, someone knew that this was...
Well, he said he didn't.
Oh, maybe not.
So But even still, I mean, they're going into post working on these after he died.
Yeah, that's tough. I couldn't handle that.
Oh, I couldn't either.
Anything else we got comic book wise that we need to talk about?
I don't think so. Why the Last Man starts up in 2 weeks, I think.
God, is it that quick?
I think it's the 17th.
I think we've talked about this before, but is there a better live action / moving picture time to be a comic book fan? I mean,
oh, no.
Look at it. We got The Boys. We've got.
Starts a week from today.
We got The Incredibles.
Yep.
I know it's kind of rubbed people the wrong way lately, but we got the wrapping up of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
We got all the, I mean, the movies aside, the stuff we're getting on TV is so fucking good.
In about 2 weeks, we got Doom Patrol coming back, which is incredible.
See, I haven't watched it. I need to watch that. Yeah. It's a fun group of who wrote that? That was Warren Ellis, right? Or was that Grant Morrison?
Morrison, yeah.
Grant Morrison. That's the other guy we need to think about. Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
It's Warren Ellis that is in hot water over some of the stuff he's done, but Grant Morrison that's still.
I think he's fine to still read.
Yeah, it's still okay to read. Also unbelievable. I talked about great finales. Grant Morrison's Transmetropolitan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you want out of comic books.
Yeah.
Listen, people, here's what you need to take away from this. Some of this stuff that we do is new. Some of it's timely when we do these comic book versions. But there's a lot for those people that just think comics are cool but don't really read them. The whole point of this podcast version of our podcast, the spinoff version of our podcast, is there's a lot of good stuff, and we drop a lot of those names quite a bit through this thing. And you heard, I can't even think off the top of my head, with the exception of me and Bender talking about 1986, the single best year in comic history. I can't think of so many deep, good stories we mentioned than we have today. It's too fucking bad Bender missed out.
Yeah.
He's the worst person in the world.
His loss.
Yeah, speaking of losing, let's wrap everything up. And it's both him and Tom's loss for not being here. But I will let you tell everybody.
Bye.
And then I'll play the music, and we'll bring this episode to a close.